Hello, everyone. So glad you could join us here today. This is Uptime Church. Today's date is March 19th in the year of our Lord, 2024. I can't believe it's already this far into the year. My name is Michael Pels, and if you're new here, we are a community of believers that are actively studying Holy Bible and looking forward to that glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We want to make this an interactive forum, so we do welcome your questions and comments today. If you don't know who Jesus is, we do encourage you to get to know him today. The bad news is, you know, we're all born sinners. We have all sinned. We have all missed the mark, but we have eternal life in Jesus Christ. And that is the great news, because when we believe the gospel of our salvation, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, and believe in his atoning blood that pays for our sins from the past, the present, and the future, and that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, we are forever the Lord's. And he puts a new desire into your heart to serve him and changes you from the inside out, and you enter into sanctification. And it is a personal journey and relationship with the Lord for the rest of the life that you have here on earth, till you get to be with him forever for eternity. And we are here for another week. And today in Bible Gateway, we have the verse of the day is Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your precious gifts that you give to us through your precious Spirit. And well, let's get this started. How you been doing, Brother Bob?
Well, I've been doing great, and I know there's a lot to talk about this week. We have our brother Greg. He needs some time with his wife, and thank you for all your prayers for Shannon, his wife, to help her get better now. So he's assisting her tonight. So you may not have all the bells and whistles like we normally have with Greg working in the background. But tonight's going to be a great presentation tonight, because one reason, and the only reason, the Holy Spirit's involved here.
Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Indeed. Brother Hagen. Yeah. How you doing?
Hey, Brother Bells. I think you should just put my last name on here. We've got places lousy with Bob's, you know. I saw that there's a Rob Barber in the chat room.
Yes, Rob Barber.
You see when Robert Breaker comes on here.
Oh, man. We get that's so
14 of us. I think I'm doing okay, man. I'm awesome. Been praying for your wife, and
well, thank you for that. I really appreciate
and for
that.
Shannon, and you know, all you guys.
Yeah,
it's something we need to do often, is pray. Yeah. You know,
it really is. You know, I wish we would all do that more, because I know that when people start praying for me, I can tell. I'm like, wow. My wife, she's getting better. Some of the symptoms have stopped, but not all of them. So we're not sure whether or not she's going to get further testing. But so definitely keep praying for her as well. And then, of course, Greg's wife, Shannon. That's a scary operation to have anyone mess with your eyes. I could only imagine the trepidation she has going into that. Yeah. I mean, I know I would be like, whoa. But Brother Shane, how have you been doing this past week, brother? It's good to see you here.
Yeah, thanks. Just, you know, keeping a low profile, keeping pretty quiet, you know, not too much going on, just live streams here and there.
Awesome.
The usual suspects.
Usual suspects. That's
cool. Everything going good with the channel?
Yeah, things are moving along nicely.
That's awesome.
I had a special guest this morning, a post trip.
Ooh, I seen that
on my channel. Yeah, so that was interesting. Yep. Just to interview someone that has a little bit of a different belief, if you will. Like, he was a believer of the post trip, so I wanted to hear his thoughts without crowding him too much, because you always get scripture verses jump out at you, right?
And oh, sure.
Jump. Yeah. So because he was my guest, I wanted to kind of respect the space and just be like, you know what?
Sure.
Let's hear what he has to say. And then every once in a while, share my thoughts. And I think I'll probably have him on again somewhere in the future. So
you're not like MSNBC then? You don't interrupt everybody every every third word.
Words in her mouth.
Yep. Not MSNBC. Brother John, Watchdog, how you been doing this past week, brother?
Thank you very much. I'm doing really good. We have increased our Bible study group. A few more people have been added this week, so that was great. This is going every day, Monday to Friday. It's always going. I received many requests. People want to join. So, yes, indeed, it's possible. I'll give all the info and everything. But as of now, my week have been really great. Amen. I've been blessed.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, I mean, I can't say anything other than God has been super good to us. He always is. My week this week's been pretty fantastic so far. As you guys know, we are the awesome event. The Spring Fling Revival Style is coming for the children on March 25th from noon to 3. Pray for good weather for me, guys. That's really important because we're supposed to have clear weather, but we started getting spots of snow the other day, and I was like, oh, no, Lord, not this. It's supposed to be good weather. But so far, everything's supposed to be good weather, so keep us in your prayers with that. That's an awesome Be My Sheep Today event, guys. We are just going to be passing out Bibles. I got different styles for the little ones to help bring up children, because we know that when we train up a child in the way, he will not depart from it. There's too much of the enemy that's soliciting kids to do the evil deeds of darkness. So I felt the Lord really put it on us to start also going after children. But today was a really fantastic day as well. We were able to go to a recovery group, and I was able to speak with, I'd say, at least a little over a dozen people, and just share about the Lord. And some people, I think, got a little, you know, spicy over it, because some things are hard to hear. But it was really awesome to be able to share the truth on how to break free from addictions. Because, you know, I remember they were asking, well, how can you break free of something that you love to do? They're like, how do you reconcile that? And I remember just telling them, I was like, you know, I can tell you a story. And I kind of explained to them about a story from my past, but how I prayed and seek the Lord to give me a desire to not have a desire for such things. And that prayer lasted for about a year, but God always fulfilled what you ask for, especially if it's in aligned with his will. And it was just fantastic to be able to do that. So that was a cool experience today, and hopefully we'll be doing that all the time.
So in other words, you were being a rebel.
Yeah,
I can't imagine that, Bells.
I was going against the grain today. Yeah. That's wild.
Mm-hmm. I'm interested what happened to Shane, because that's great. You did something that most pre-tribbers would never do, is take on a post-trib person.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I bet that this guy, first of all, said you could lose your salvation. He probably believes in works. You know, and shaking your head. So, yes, he believes. So, right away, you don't rightly divide. Because if you rightly divide, Shane, you read the Bible how many times? Like 100 million times? So, you started reading that Bible, and you get through it. And you all of a sudden, like, hold on a second.
Yeah,
a pre-tribulation sounds right. I studied the whole Bible, not just five verses from this one pastor I saw on YouTube, like these people do. You know, you actually went through the whole thing, and you look at the Bible from a bird's eye view now, pretty much, probably better than anybody I know. And when you look at it from a bird's eye view, all you see is these types, shadows, and parallels and patterns of a pre-tribulation rapture. Wouldn't you agree, Shane?
Oh, 100%. It's all over. And kind of how I approach it is I look at God's character first. Like, who is God and what is his character like? And it matches the New Testament and the Old Testament, especially when you see little tiny things like Lot being dragged out of a city with his wife and his two daughters. And then judgment comes, not before. They didn't have to go through the fire to earn anything. They got pulled out. And Abraham was asking to see if he can figure out what God's character was by saying, so let me just get this clear. Will you destroy the righteous with the unrighteous? Because I kind of need to know. And so do we. We need to know.
Right.
And God's answer was, if I see 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, how about 4?
Yeah.
How about 4?
But you know, the profit of having somebody on, Shane, that has a differing point of view is that you give people an opportunity to see both sides.
Yep.
And then to go to the Word and be a good Berean, as Michael always speaks of.
Amen.
You know, you take the Word, you work it. There's a lot of guys out there that, you know, if you rely on them and you don't get your head in the book, you're going to be misguided. I mean, we certainly don't have any of us any angst against anybody that has an opinion difference in ours or what we believe. Not at all. You know, we're praying. We not only pray for each other, but we pray for people in the chat room and
for sure.
And people that are going to watch the programs after they've been recorded. And
yeah.
And, you know, John's got the daily fellowship he's been doing. And so there's a lot of word going out.
Yeah.
And wherever Jesus is spoken, there's going to be a prophet.
Yeah. And I there was a couple of points I couldn't just let slide. And that was finished work. When Jesus said it is finished, I couldn't let that go. I'm like, okay, let's back up. Let's just make sure we understand. Yeah. I understand what you're articulating. We both agree that Jesus' work is finished on the cross.
Yes.
But you're saying there's more to do after the finished work? Like, if you look up finished in Latin, in Greek, in Swahili, it's finished. It's the same. Mm-hmm. It's done. So why are we going down this path of there's more to do yet? There's more to come, folks. There's not only the trumpets and the bowls of wrath, but now we got Jesus, the wrath of the Lamb. And then after that, we also have the wrath of the Father on top after Jacob's trouble. Like, we're talking down the road.
Yeah.
Like, so it's like, so that work is not finished. We got to do something now to prove our worth, to prove that we are a bride that can get dragged through the mud in order to clean up all the mess and the blemishes and everything. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I couldn't let that go. I'm like, let's unpack this here. Let's talk about this.
You know, Shane, I asked you a question. You brought up about Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham going on to, going to the Lord, said, if I could find 50 righteous or 20 righteous, if I could find 10 righteous. Yeah. Now, think about that, how that parallels where we're at today.
Yep.
How if he went and looked for righteous people on the earth, you're going to find a lot more than 5. And there's 5 of us here right now. Okay.
Yep.
So what has to happen? And now you know the answer to this already. What has to happen in order for that parallel to be fulfilled here today? The rapture, resurrection. Because right after the rapture, resurrection, okay, exactly. Right after that, all the kids are gone, all the believers are gone. At that moment, at that second, there are no righteous on the earth, not one. And it'll be just like in Sodom and Gomorrah. You can't find a single one, which would then allow God to execute Daniel's 70th week, which is a judgment.
Yeah, you have to use that logic.
Yeah.
That is
interesting. Or common sense, which a lot of people don't have.
That's gonna be
the chaos. Everybody's gonna, people will be willing to kill for an egg salad sandwich. I mean, there will be no, nothing.
Oh,
there.
Of course, And to food further expound, expound upon what Brother Shane is saying, guys, Ephesians 5:26-27 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So to be found without spot or wrinkle or blemish is to be sanctified by the Lord through his precious atoning blood. There is no other way. You cannot work your way to that perfection. That is truly only a work of God.
Yeah, there's no other way to look at it. And when you think about Jacob's trouble in the Old Testament, it's pretty bad. It's really, really bad. So when you have that, there's no time before or after that time in history that's bad. But then some people think, well, no. That's the worst. But there's still even more worst. I know that's not proper English, but it's even worse than Jacob's trouble. When in the Old Testament, saying, this is pretty bad, guys. This is the worst of the worst times ever, before, present, after. How can it get worse after that?
Right.
I got something I want you guys to think about. It's something I've you know, worked toward a little bit over the years. And when Jesus was, he was taking everything on him, right? He took the sins of the world. He took, you know, everything. He did finish it. It is finished.
Amen.
The wrath of God. He took the wrath of God basically on him.
Yep.
So that we would be able to have a life and have it more abundantly. And when people want to put us through this wrath again, I have brought this up with people before. I say Jesus Christ already paid for that.
Yeah.
It's done.
Yeah.
And they say, well, no, that's not what that means. Well, what would you call it?
What is
would you call it an afternoon on a steak? You know, I'm not meaning to be facetious in saying this, but the wrath he took was
a big deal.
Way beyond what we will ever understand.
Yeah.
But it was for everything.
Yeah.
Did he No, he didn't leave out anything. And when he said it is finished, except, right? No, he didn't say except.
No, exactly.
That's one of the things I believe that, and I might be wrong, but it doesn't make any sense to me that if he did that and we have our identity with him, that we're going to have to go through the same thing, basically.
Doesn't make sense.
No, it's almost like committing suicide when you think about it. If we're his flesh, we're his bones, we're joint heirs in Christ, we're one with him, and the wrath of the Lamb is coming, does that not look like he's going against his own body if you're going with that?
Yeah.
Doesn't that kind of look like that?
Right. And you know, a lot of people are not teaching things correctly. It's like the days of Noah. It's all over again.
Yeah.
There's a percentage on the earth that knew the flood was coming, like us. We know it's coming. The rapture resurrection is coming. We know the Daniel 70th week is coming. Small group of us compared to 8 billion people. Okay. Yes. Now drop us into another category where you got people preaching a bloodless gospel. Okay. And they're preaching like that guy that came on your show. Oh, you got to do this work and this work and this work to get saved. Okay. And all this stuff like that. So basically right now we're looking at is a small group of people like Noah and his family, a small group now that is actually preaching the correct gospel now. We are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. We're preaching the correct gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, Ephesians 2:8-9, so on and so forth. Okay. And on top of that, we're also preaching end times with it. Yep. That's a double whammy. Because I've seen some preachers, some guys, they just do all end times and never touch the gospel. Yeah. And other guys, they just do all gospel, never touch the end times.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you can preach the correct gospel and end times, man, you are deadly to Satan.
Yeah.
Because now you have this urgency. You have an urgency to tell everybody, hey, it's getting kind of hairy out there. And I have a way out for you. And it's the proper way out. Okay.
Exactly. So
people like us and people like you here in the chat, everybody watching, you're just like us. Some of you get channels, some of you don't, but you're all just like us in chat and watching right now. Okay, you got your space, you got your cubicle like the rest of us, all right? And we're all doing our work for the Lord in this matter, preaching the grace, the correct gospel, and also also along with the end times as well, which is very important.
We're loading the spiritual ark, if I may say. And the rapture will be the closing of the door. And that's it. Once the door is closed, people will bang on the door. They will throw themselves on the asphalt. And they're going to cry and gnashing of teeth and everything. But it's going to be too late for that part.
Yeah. You know,
exactly. What's coming after that, the everlasting gospel and all this, it's going to be hard, but it's going to be chaotic on the earth. Oh, it's going to be crazy.
I'm joined with a group of fanatic Christians here. This is great. I got to have a little levity once in a while. You know, being a fan of basketball with the NCAAs going on, everybody, you know, they fill those venues and everybody's going bananas when your team wins. Maybe Purdue might even get past the first round. Who knows? But why can't we be fans for Jesus Christ? You know, why can't we be excited about what's coming up and what we know now, you know? And, you know, like Bob was saying, we're, you know, dangerous people to the adversary because we're making known the truth, you know. God's is that all men come into a knowledge of the truth. They'll be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So it's not just get saved and we give you a Gospel of John and we hopefully you find a church. No, it's that you get saved and then you come to a knowledge of the truth. And you need to work the word yourself, you know, and study to show yourself approved unto men. No, unto the government. No, not at all. Believe me, but unto God.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
right. Preach it.
He's going to
preach it.
Disapprove of you.
That's good.
We're all, you guys are far more educated than I am.
Oh, no.
And, you're being humble.
As far as, the unity that we can have, you know, all five of us have different things going on. The unity that we've had over the time that we've been on here since Greg put this on a few years back is amazing. That, you know, we can all get along. We can all respect each other's viewpoints. Not interrupt. So I'm not interrupting anymore. I'm sorry about that, Shane. I'm a blabbermouth sometimes. I get rolling here. You know, you were saying something before.
No.
And John's, you know, I like. Yeah, I like listening to Fortier with that Bronx accent of his. You know.
I know.
What?
Qu'est-ce que c'est?
What?
Y'all. Yeah. Y'all hear me now?
Y'all doing good?
No. Yeah.
The y'all but, is from the Indiana.
So, guys, who's excited?
Michael, I got a mic.
How many days we have left now? Will you?
One at a time, please.
Yeah.
I'll say, let's get into this clips here right now. All right. Yes. So, how many days out are we from that now?
Is it 18?
About 18 is days out.
18 days, something like that, I believe. And 20. I'm 20 days.
Yeah.
It's April 8th.
Right. I think so. It's 12 days till the end of the month. And then you got another, 18, eight. So that, that's pretty close.
Well, you know, I was talking to Brother John about this today. I was talking to Brother John about this today. And what's interesting is we don't know if something's going to happen on that day. Mm-hmm. All right. If nothing's going to happen on that day, then it has to be the final sign, the final major sign before the rapture.
Yes.
It either happens on that day or it's the final major sign before the rapture.
Okay? I mean, I think it's awesome.
There is no more prophecies to go by before the rapture. I mean, we're done. I'm still looking and I don't find anything before the rapture. Everything has gone by. All prophecies and texts has gone by have been fulfilled. So.
Mm-hmm. I was talking to Brother John. You know, what can happen? Can something happen on that day, or will there be like another, you know, time frame before we see anything actually take place? Will there be a ramp up? We know 7 months from that point is April, as the 11th of November, give or take, where Philip Barnett saw a nuclear war begin. Okay, but what's interesting, I told John, I said, well, we do know for sure that in 2017, when that eclipse, the first one, went through, it passed through seven Salems, okay, which meant 7 years of peace. And that was a sign of Joseph in that first leg, okay? So the sign of Joseph, 7 years of peace. That only means that the 7 years of famine are coming, which we know is a seven-year tribulation.
Exactly.
So think about this. That sign took place 7 years ago. And what do we have? 7 years of peace. We haven't had the nuclear war yet, so it technically – We have peace. We have a lot of we have a Cold War going on now, but still quite peaceful for the most part, except for some hot pockets. Okay. So 7 years ago that took place, and we have 7 years of peace. Now we got this thing coming through the next leg, passing through seven Nineveh, which represents judgment, 7 years of famine. So if it doesn't sound fair, the fact that when that sign took place, we had 7 years of peace, and now we should definitely have 7 years of famine coming up in the next 7 years here, beginning with this next eclipse. That one marks peace.
Yeah.
This one marks famine. Okay.
If
for nothing to happen for seven more years, that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah. I was actually, me and my wife were talking about this very thing today. And it's really funny because she brought up exactly what you're saying, Brother Bob. It was really cool. And she was like, you know, it's just like Joseph in the 7 years and of peace, and then the 7 years of the famine. And I was thinking, because we go back to 2017, not me and my wife, but going back to that sign, and also at the center of the X is Rapture, Indiana. So I think that's really interesting. Awesome. And if you check out Rapture, Indiana, its totality is 100%. So maybe that's 100% forecast. I don't know. But going back to what Brother Bob was talking about with the 7 year sign, I thought something was interesting. Okay, think back. Now, some of you guys were already have been born again for a long, long, long time. But during 2017 was like a huge moment in time when there was a large truth community that broke out across the internet. There was all kinds of conspiracies, all kinds of things going on. Troves of people were being saved and born again and coming to the knowledge of the truth in Jesus Christ, the true gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. At that time, you know, I was a part of that gathering up and storing into the barns. And that's what I kind of think of is during that time, if we were spiritually represented as a type of wheat, you know, we were being loaded away into the ark, getting ready for that day where it's going to be sealed and we're going to be taken away from here. And I'm very excited about that because I've seen so many people. And so when I think of the peace and I think of the fact that a lot of people came to the truth so much because I really believe the Lord allowed that a part of that veil to lift to where everyone could see the hypocrisy and the lies of this world, and so many people in this last several years, it's gotten even more intense. I mean, it's like, it's not hard. You know, back, you go 20 years ago and you try to tell someone something about the government, for instance, they would think you're cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. You try to tell them about Jesus, they wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't even listen to you. They were more, you know, concerned with their great jobs, good economy. There was no thought in their mind about the rapture, but even normal people, like, what I mean by normal is just unsaved, kind of the general pop that you would find. Like, when we were out speaking today, most people, even if they're not saved, feel it. They know it. Well, they're like, man, something's weird. They feel the darkness. They see the deceptions, the lies. And if they are seeing it by the grace of God, obviously us as believers are really seeing it. And I just think that I really believe that there's good potential for the eclipse. Now, whether or not what happens, I don't know. And I hope it's the rapture. I would love to go be with the Lord and with my brothers and sisters for the rest of eternity at that moment. That'd be awesome.
There's a Rapture, Indiana.
Yeah.
There's a town called, really?
Yes, and it's the midpoint where the cross is.
Yeah, it's right at the center.
We'll move there next.
Yeah,
where do you live?
Me and my wife were like, we should go there because it's only 2 hours away from here. But I was because I am going to, by the grace of God, if it's not raining, I do plan on setting up the camera and filming the eclipse. So if you're in an area where you can't see it and it's not raining in Indiana, I will definitely be setting that up and live streaming it, and maybe we'll catch something in the sun.
Will you also have donuts and coffee?
Virtual donuts and coffee. But
virtual coffee. There we go.
Yeah,
you guys see Mark Biltz, when this thing with Pastor Bob Bigley in the interview, and he said a few of the key things I heard him say was that April 8th on Nisan 1, that was a day, and it's actually in the Bible. That's when the day they dedicated the temple. And the glory of God descended from heaven and filled the temple. Now think about that for a minute. If the glory of God descends, he descends from heaven with a shout and he fills a temple. Mm, yeah. Okay, he fills a physical temple. Our bodies are physical temples. See the parallel? Descends from heaven with a shout, yeah, voice right. of archangel, trumpet of God.
Pentecost.
Descends and he regenerates our physical temples. He deals with the physical temple. So that happened on the first. And then he mentions that that also the same day, April 8th, is the first day of 3 days of darkness in the plagues of Egypt. Okay. I don't know what that means. I have no idea. All I know is that's what he said. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I don't think there's going to be a planet X that goes by in 3 days. I don't think that's going to happen.
You know, you're talking about the glory of the Lord coming down and filling the house. It sounds a little bit like the day of Pentecost, doesn't it?
Yep, that sounds like it too.
Wow. I'm sure that's a coincidence too. It's just they were all gathered there and must have been I hope we get a replay of that one. I hope we get a replay of a lot of this stuff. But it's true. There's a lot of things happening. But there is a hope, not to fill you with fear. That's not what we're here for. But, Jesus Christ said that he was the way. The truth and the life. He never said he was one of the ways, which I was taught when I was younger, or one of the truths or one of the lives. He said, I am the way. Either he was the biggest egotist that ever walked, or he was lying, or, which we believe, he told the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And no man comes unto the Father except by him. And then in Acts 4:12, no name given under heaven. Listen to this. No name. I don't care. Buddha, Muhammad, any of the names of any of the religious representatives through history. None of those saved. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only name. He's the chief cornerstone. So that's, and it's not where you have to, you don't have to go and spend the next 3 days confessing all your sins because you're going to forget some of them. What you do is you accept a free gift by what Jesus Christ accomplished, and then you have that Holy Spirit of promise. You're sealed with it, and it's a good thing. And it's not going to be an easy life, but you know what? It's a more abundant life, and it's knowing the future. I mean, we don't know when certain days are going to happen, like the rapture, but we know that we have that treasure within. It says it's an unspeakable gift. So it's not to, like we're walking around on an ego trip. It's by grace. Anything that we're given and anything that we can share. If God gets the glory, we'll stay straight. But if we try to take it upon ourselves, we're in trouble. It's just, and it takes the onus off of us. But at the same time, it's just like one more thing. I'm going to say, I get to, I get an opportunity to do a teaching once in a while. And before I teach, I usually feel very unqualified to do it. And I feel like, I hope this is going to work this time. I'll say that to Greg. But when I'm finished with it, I just thank God that he gets the glory and that somebody will get something out of it. I don't care numbers. We're not looking at that. We could have 25,000 people in the chat room right now, or we could have one, and that one person in there is searching for the truth, and he gets saved, and that the angels of heaven rejoice at the saving of a hippie. That's what they did when I got saved. The hippie got saved.
Jesus works at the cross. Okay, eradicated all sin. Okay, when he died, when he finished his works at the cross, it changed something in the spiritual realm that enabled him to begin doling out gifts of salvation through his indwelling Holy Spirit to believers. Okay, something changed that wasn't there before his death, burial, resurrection, but it's there now. And that gift's available now, like Bob said, Ephesians 2:8-9. Okay, you received that gift through faith. All right. But the good news is that God rightly divides us at salvation. Now, we talked about that last week, John. He rightly divides so many different ways. That's why he loves rightly dividing, okay? When according to Colossians 2:11, all right, Greg's not here to bring it up right now, but I'm just going to read it for you. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, all right, it's the Holy Spirit born again, all right, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So what happens is God separates your body from your spirit, all right? He readily divides it. Yeah, it's together here right now. But what he does, he separates it to the circumcision and keeps them separate. Why? Because the body will immediately contaminate your new born-again spirit. Immediately. Yeah. It'll be contaminated. So he separates it to the circumcision of the Holy Spirit, and for good measure, he seals you, according to Ephesians 4:30. Okay? Amen. So now you are sealed and ready to go to heaven in the event you die. But your body, like we always talk about, has not been dealt with yet. Okay? That happens at the rapture resurrection, which will be the second part of the gift of salvation. Okay. So going back to Shane, that guy that came on your channel, okay, rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay. You know, when Apostle Paul said that, you know, was he thinking about rightly dividing the word, or do you think he knew? Hey, you have to rightly divide the spirit, rightly divide everything. Okay, the Lord knows. Okay, he knows how that all works, right?
Amen.
Yep, 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you can be assured that your works, your sinful flesh, will not mess everything up for your spirit. Okay?
Yeah. You're made of three parts just like him, soul, spirit, and flesh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's good only news, one guys. Salvation. That's awesome.
And it shows that, you know, it shows that God's not haphazard in what he does. You know, he doesn't give bad gifts. He's never given a bad gift. You know, and I know it maybe sound kind of silly to say that, but a lot of people do. They think, well, how can this man be of God if he heals on the Sabbath day? Oh, well, that's too bad. You know, the guy comes like John 9 that he wanted help. He was not getting help from the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Jesus comes along, gets him seeing again. And then they go crazy because he did it on the wrong day without their blessing. And they try to grill him out of the question. And he stands up and says, who is this man that did this? And then he finds out, what does he do? He takes a stand. You know, even his parents didn't want to do it, but he said, hey, I'm seeing these beautiful trees and flowers, and I'm seeing, and I've never seen before. I'm pretty stoked about this tonight. Amen. I'm going to tell everybody about this.
That's awesome.
But the people that he should, the people that people are looking at to help them, the religious quote unquote people out there are not helping them, just putting more burdens on them.
Yeah.
You know, whoso the Son has set free, he's free indeed.
Yeah.
See, and that's the thing. Are you, you know, what is freedom, Shane? Is the shackles, you know, there used to be a program on the radio out of Chicago, Illinois years ago. I don't even know if it's still on. It was called Unshackled.
Hmm. Okay.
And it was a program of people who had been at the bottom of the barrel. You know, it was actually a rescue mission called Pacific Garden Mission. And the people that have been down in it, and then they went through this mission, but they did stories. And fascinating, some of the stories. I used to listen to them, and before I became a believer, and then I thought back at some of them, and a lot of those could have been me.
Yep, all of us, yep.
If God had given up on me. So,
yeah.
And I know you guys are thankful you didn't.
Amen. Well, I mean, I think that one thing that's awesome about just walking in relationship with the Lord is it's that learning experience. And when you're a Berean, or when you're like Shane and bringing opposing views on, and you can have that apologetics take place where opposing views are happening. But really what it does is just grounds you even more steadfast into the faith that the Lord has already placed in you, because you know that other opposing view is absolutely not the truth. Jesus is always the one who's going to finish the work. It's always been about him. And one thing I always thought was awesome was that even in 1 Corinthians 15, that beautiful chapter that Paul packaged up for us to share the gospel of our salvation, how interesting is it that the resurrection that he speaks about, and he expounds on it and shows us, you know, how he's the second Adam, and how there's the new bodies and the rapture that's coming. It's so awesome. It's like that whole chapter is like an entire gospel in and of its essence, you know, because you have the beginning, what we believe, and then you have the end result of that first believing.
Yeah.
And I think that's so awesome and so encouraging.
Yeah. And I think that's what I think that's what Paul is trying to hammer home, was you have the first Adam, and we give Adam, I think, some days a little bit more credit than he deserves, because he did one action, one thing. He partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and all die. Jesus did one action on the cross so that all men live, and his gift keeps on giving.
Right.
It's abundance of grace. It's a gift that just, you can't out-sin his grace. If you do, your flesh dies. Yeah. You try and do it, you just die. That's where it leads you. And so Paul was onto something, saying, look, here's the mystery, guys. We shall not all sleep, but we're all going to be changed.
Mm-hmm. So, and I like that shape. Mm-hmm.
You can't find that in the Old Testament if you're sticking with programs, Israel's program, the Gentiles program, Christians, the church, I should say, the body of Christ. You can't find what Paul was teaching in the Pauline epistles in the Old Testament. So if you're looking for your salvation there, you're going to find little hints here and there kind of thing. But Paul lays it out in black and white. It's like, here it is. If anybody's preaching any other gospel, let him be accursed.
Be accursed. Amen.
Twice it says that.
That's true. Think about your spirit being born again. Okay, these people, that I could lose my salvation. Every day they got to repent. I lose my salvation every day until I say a repentance prayer or ask for forgiveness. That would mean that after your spirit is born again, receiving the Holy Spirit, born again, sealed, that would mean then for you to lose your salvation, the Holy Spirit must die inside you. It has to die. Yeah, no part of the Holy Spirit ever dies.
Yeah.
Okay?
No.
The Holy Spirit's immortal.
You can grieve it.
No killing.
You can grieve the Holy Spirit, but you certainly can't kill it, okay, through your sin. No. The Bible says, how does the Holy Spirit react to the sin of your flesh? It grieves. Right. You can grieve it a whole lot. You can grieve it your whole life and grieve it abundantly, but you're still saved. It's not a fun trip. Okay. No. It certainly won't be a good day if you had the Bema Seat judgment.
That's right.
Okay. But you have that option. Yeah. You want to do that. I don't recommend it.
Yeah. No. You want to call it God's filtering system, Bob. Mm-hmm. You know, grieving the Holy Spirit, you know, a conscience, you really, if you know the word even a little bit, you get these checks in your spirit sometime that you know that something's off. And I know that happens with all of us. I know John, when you've been doing your teachings that are recorded for Wednesdays, do you ever feel inadequate before you start teaching? Because I always do.
I do feel a little bit of, I have to pray to get the Holy Spirit to make sure I say the right thing and I bring up the right thing. But yes, I do get a little bit anxious, if you may say yes.
And I think that what it is, I think what happens when you are doing anything, even like what we're doing tonight, like Bob was saying, the reason this will work tonight is because of the Holy Spirit, not because of us. No, that's not it. We're just people that want to see people get saved. There's still people out there that need to hear the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're all working together, and that is, that's part of the good works, working together to bring people to a knowledge of the truth, I think we're doing the will of God. And that's, I would much rather be doing the will of God, even though I've got shortcomings and I've got all things coming up too. Everybody has challenges, but at least we're we're standing to the best of our ability,
yeah,
on what we know. And and that, you know, that song, Don't Back Down, it's just it's like we're, our feet are in cement. We're not going to, we're not going to let anything talk us out of what we know to be the truth. And a lot of people out there saying, well, there's no, you know, there is no absolute truth. I beg to differ on that one.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
So, but I think in a lot of times when we come on these programs or when we're doing a teaching, and I just got my answer from the Lord, and the reason you feel inadequate and a little bit non-prepared is because when you start off, you have this outline of what you're going to do. But unless you pray and say, you know, Lord, like Michael does, may, you know, may the words that I'm speaking tonight be what you want me to speak.
Yep.
And not, not, I may have an outline, but I need you to work. And if you do that, then it'll work, then it works out.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And it, it, you know, the times I've been on with Michael, with Centurions of Faith, we get together, we have no clue as to what we're going to do, but somehow it usually works out. We don't tear each other's head off in 15 minutes. You know, hey, you believe what I do, you know, and that kind of stuff. So,
no, it's awesome. And I think it just goes to show, Bob, that, that, that testimony of truly being of one mind. And I find that so awesome that no matter who you are, if you're a brother or a sister in the Lord and you start talking about your life and your relationship with the Lord and circumstances and situations, you will find a very high level of consistency between your own experiences in life and how the Lord has been teaching you. And I think that is an awesome, almost like also like a litmus test, you know, who are his, and we know who are our, you know, are the bodies. We share that same mind in Christ, and to live our life, and just like the outline of the show, you know, we have a general idea of the outline of our life that we want to live, and sometimes, you know, we make mistakes or do something, but the amazing thing is how the Lord always gently lifts us up and redirects us into the direction he wants us to go, and I think that one, the biggest takeaway of walking in relationship with the Lord and being a Christian, not like the Pharisees, Sadducees, not like the church from, you know, back in the times with Jesus and then after him, because remember, it was all a show. What happened in John 9 when his eyes were returned, right? When they asked, the Pharisees asked his parents, they were too afraid because they didn't want to get kicked out of church. They had an image, and the more you read through the Gospels, you find that more than once where people were afraid because of their image. But we don't care as Christians. We just want the truth. We love the truth, and we need it. We just love the Lord, and when we find that truth, we just want to be around it, and we can detect that in each other. But that thing, walking with the Lord in that relationship and knowing, this is the difference between someone who's lost thinking about works and a true believer, because when you've fallen low, lower than you ever thought you could fall before, and the Holy Spirit picks you up, dusts you off, and says, and God says, I love you, son. Keep going. This is what I have for you. And you're completely sold on the Lord. You're like, I know he'll never leave me, because if he was going to leave me or forsake me, he would already done it. Like then or that time or that time, but he's always been there. He's never left me. And that's an amazing place to be at.
We need a t-shirt. I don't know where you got that rapture shirt, but we need a t-shirt that says a dusty Bible equals a dirty life. Plastered all
over. Amen.
Because if you're not reading your Bible, you're going to be confused, and you're not going to realize that no matter what, like Michael said, man, the Holy Spirit tackled me and brought me back. I was kicking and screaming. I knew about the Lord. I fell away, and he brought me back into the fold. My family prayed me back in when I was kicking and screaming with my addictions, going, let me go back into the addictions, until I got enough strength to go, okay, I need to make a choice here. Do I go this way to death, or do I try and work this stuff out? I think I'll work it out. Okay. Then the Holy Spirit can now work with me. But Amen. He brought me back So the idea that you could be lost forever is lost on me in my mindset based on my experience. I was pretty bad. I was probably the worst sinner on the planet. The worst. And I got brought back.
Boy, if we ever took took an inventory of sins, yeah.
I was going to say that. That's another one of those like-mindedness. We always all think we're the worst sinners that could have possibly, yeah. all the way from yeah. back from Paul, you know. Yeah. And that's how it feels, you know.
Shane said he got tackled. He got tackled by the Holy Spirit.
But that's the thing. You can become saved. You can accept the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ, save and seal. But after that, Paul tells us, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto right. God. Yeah. If you don't rightly dividing, mm-hmm. if you don't study, you're still saved. Yeah. Man, it's going to be a smoke flare when you go to the judgment seat of Christ. There'll be nothing there but smoke, right? I can breathe. Yes. I can breathe. Right?
Right.
Yeah. Right? So
I said there's only one doorway, and that's Jesus Christ.
That's mm-hmm. it. Amen.
There's only one repentance. You only repent one time. There's only one confession. All right. There's only one sealing of the Holy Spirit. It only happens once.
Yeah.
Okay. Good point. I believe God will do that for you. If you truly believe at that moment, he's waiting. You know, it's just like imagine if your son, your child, son or daughter, someone you love is hanging off the edge of a building. Okay, and your hand is out, all right? And it's like, please, give me your hand. I could save you. And they don't think they can do it. They just can't. They just want to let go and die. You don't want that to happen. Oh. Is it just give me your hand. I can save you, all right? All you're waiting for is for that one moment for him to reach his hand out before he extracts it back, okay? And but as soon as he reaches that hand out, you're like, wham, you get it. Like boom, right away.
Yeah.
And you pull and you save them right away. You don't sit there thinking, you took a long time to give your hand out. No, you grab them and you are pulling them back. And say, and then you're like, I'm gonna make sure you never do that again. I'm gonna seal you, I'm gonna save you. And I want you to be with me forever. I don't want you to be on the edge of that building ever again. So in case you want to jump off again, it won't happen. Okay, you guys see what I'm saying, where I'm going with this?
Yes. So the Lord,
I have to repent. Like, oh, I got saved last week, but man, I did what Shane did, man. I had a really bad week. I better go ask the Lord, oh, forgive me, save me again, come into my heart again, save me, regenerate me again. You know, I was like, no, he pulled you over that building once. It will never happen again. Yeah, okay, he saved you. You'll never be on the edge of that building ever again. He knows that. He saved you, and it's a permanent save.
It's awesome. I love it because right when you said that, I just completely, it just flooded my mind. Of course, I have an active imagination, but Peter, when he was slipping into the water and how Jesus reached out and grabbed his arm and pulled him back into safety. Because how often do we find ourselves walking in life, right? And we see the storms and the winds and they're all around us and we slip and we start sinking back into the world. And we look up to the Lord, and not to save me from my eternal salvation, because we know you're already saved, but you're like, Lord, save me from this situation that I put myself in. Lord, save me from this horrible thing. You know, whatever it is, you can fill in the blank. Because I know as believers, you know, that is our life. The Lord is he's showing us constantly, okay, you know, he's sanctifying you. He's trying to make you set apart, right? And so if you're doing something, whatever it may be, it's not that you're going to die and go to hell. I mean, he may destroy the flesh, but you're always going to be saved. But I love that analogy because to see how the Lord's always like, oh, I'm grabbing you. Oh, I'm grabbing you. Because it is possible for a believer to slip off into despair, deep despair. Sure. I've seen it, and it's sad. And they, you know, it's in those moments when they have to reach out and, you know, and they call that call from the heart. It reminds me of that man who was possessed by Legion, you know, and all those thousands and how Jesus went all the way across, completely diverting from his mission because he knew not that you're possessed, but that the call of the heart. And I remember particularly one moment in my life, and I was working at as an IT guy, and I wanted to end my life, and I was just, I was crying, and I'll never forget it. But the way the Lord heard my cry, and I wasn't asking for the Lord to do anything. I just remember crying out, and I'll never forget how the Lord just showed up and just, he really radically changed my whole life around. And of course, I'm going to be talking with Amy, the moderator, about my testimony. So I think maybe it's the 29th. I hope you guys are able to come to watch that, because I'd love to be able to share with you guys the kind of nitty gritty details of that testimony. But it just goes to show you, just like Shane, Jesus loves us, and he'll, you can't, none of you are going to be lost from his hand. No.
And you never, and you're never to the point either where what happens is the enemy will try to, will try to convince you that you've done things that are too bad to be saved. That was a that's a beauty. You know, come along and say, well, Hagen, did you do that again? And instead of realizing that you know, we're forgiven. I mean, we're going to fall and slip up and everything, but don't think that you've gotten to the point where you've done something so heinous that that God just, he's still, he's like the prodigal son's father waiting for him every day, and then he finally came home. That's what what our God is like. He's waiting, and he's going to run to you. He's not going to step back and send a servant. He's going to, you know, like if you put your name in the blank, hey, there's Michael, I'm going to run to him. There's Bob, the doc, I'm running to him, and John and Jane and Bob, I'm running. And in Eastern culture, especially, they didn't, that wasn't the a manner. That wasn't the manner that people did. They always used their servants. This guy was saying, nah, that's not going to work this time. That's my boy out there, and I'm going to get him. And if you think about that, if you think about that the Heavenly Father, you know, the Ancient of Days is really loves you, is concerned about you, and is waiting for you. That's pretty it's pretty heavy when you think about it.
It is heavy. True.
Yeah, I mean, just like I said earlier, your son, your child is hanging off the side of that building. You're just in there waiting. If he reaches his arm out once, that's all it's going to take, and this will be over with forever. If he just once, just one time, believe one time. God, the Holy Spirit's like, believe. One time, just believe. Come on, believe. And they'll know. They'll know if you say that prayer and don't mean it. The Holy Spirit knows. Okay, in within your spirit, if you really believe that moment, and you may not be saying anything, you might be just contemplating it in yourself. And the Holy Spirit's like, he believes. Boom. Yeah, that's that kid. Reach his hand out one time.
Amen.
Grab his hand. Like, this is done forever.
Yeah.
Isn't even when if with the father. With the prodigal, which is funny because when Bob was talking about that, that other story that Bob Hagen talked about came to mind with the prodigal son. You know, that immediately when the son turned and he was afar off, it says, you know, immediately the father was there. It's like he's just waiting, like, come on, and he snatches you up out of the darkness, you know. And that is amazing. That is a God that I absolutely love serving. And trying to live my life the best that I can for him because of how much he's done for me, and to share that with others that there is hope, you know. And I think that's really important in these last final hours, because like Brother Hagen brought up, man, the enemy will try to say, oh, nope, you know, XYZ name, you know, John Doe, Jane Doe. Nope, you've done it too. You've done that for the last time, or nope, that's too bad. Nope, God's not going to hear you this time. And it's sad because so many people listen to that, or they listen to the voice of fear. They listen to that voice. And you got to remember, guys, to understand, to hear the voice of the Lord, for one, it's to hear the truth. When you hear the truth, that is the voice of the Lord. And does it give you a spirit? God does not give us a spirit of fear. So if you're getting afraid over what you're experiencing, what's put on your heart, what you're thinking, if you're thinking the Lord's talking to you and all of a sudden you find out, oh, this wasn't the Lord. This is Satan trying to condemn me. And I remember watching Charles Lawson, I think it was last Sunday or the Sunday before, and I was like, man, this is what I'm talking about. When you get believers in a room and we all start talking about our lives, you can actually find out the synchronicities of it, and how it's like, wow. He was talking, Pastor Lawson said, you know, I was sitting here in my prayer closet thinking about something, and he's like, and then I realized all of a sudden, that wasn't God talking to me, that was the devil. And how many times do you find that you think God's telling you something, but then all of a sudden he tries to sneak one over on you and bring in that fear and condemnation? Whenever that comes, guys, because I know it's going to happen. It's going to happen. If you're a born-again believer of God, Satan is coming after you, and that moment will happen. The moment that fear and condemnation strikes, you absolutely know who you're dealing with at that point, and you can just eject that right out the airlock.
It's good. Go ahead. I was just thinking about the prodigal son. One interesting thing that kind of jumped out at me is the idea that the son was eating basically pig's food, slop and all this kind of stuff. And then he had a thought in his head, you know what? My father's servants are eating better than me. So why don't I just go back and become his servant, and then I'll be okay. So as he's heading home, somebody was watching for him. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long, but I have an image in my head that this was kind of a habit of the father. Maybe he grabbed the chair and he's like, you know what? This is going to be a long day. And he would just watch over the horizon to see if he could see a little speck, a little dot.
A little speck.
That's my son. I see him right there. That's my son. Amen. No, that's a bird. Okay. There he is. And then he runs to him.
Amen.
So you have to be paying attention to know when the son's coming over the horizon, because otherwise the father would be just working away. But it was almost like the father was at rest and wanted his son to enter into that rest. And his older brother shows up and says, how come you're giving him the robe, the ring, all this stuff and the cap? Why can't I have that for my friends? It's like, son, everything I have is for you.
Yeah.
Everything. And he was lost and now he's found. And it's just like a complete picture that we have such an abundance. We just have no idea. We have to eat some slop to figure it out.
Exactly. Yeah.
His father, the father was, I think it's a good point you bring up there, Shane. He more than likely was out there every day. And, you know, that's another break in Eastern, culture. A lot of these things just aren't common. And he was waiting and, you know, reading the local newspaper as he's sitting out there or whatever. But that day that happened and his son came back, because he was believing that his son would come back. He didn't give up on him. You know, he didn't, okay, here's your money. You know, get out of here, you bum. No, he was believing that his son would come back. And when he came back, you know, it was the story itself is of a forgiving father. It's sort of like God. I always kind of, God is waiting there.
Yep.
And when we come home, he's thrilled.
Yep.
And it's not, and it's because of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We started off talking about Jesus finishing the work earlier in the broadcast tonight.
Yeah,
and we've spent a lot of time talking about the prodigal son, or the forgiving father, is what I like to call it. And he really is. Yeah. And I guess if you want to call something a theme, it would be to get people to realize that God's not an ogre. You know, he's not an ogre under a bridge waiting to pelt you with a baseball bat. He wants you to come home.
And it might be difficult to understand unless you're a father or a grandfather. My goodness, I would do anything for my grandchild. What? Like, I would just spoil him. And then when I'm done, I can hand him back to his mom. But it's almost different than your own child.
That's almost,
Yeah, it's almost different than your own child, because your own child you discipline and all this kind of stuff. But the grandchild, it's like, could do no wrong. You give them sugar and everything and sweets.
Yeah, and Red Bull and chocolate bar.
Shake him up and then give him back to his parents. Yep. But you just love on Red him Bulls. Unconditionally. Unconditionally as a grandparent.
That's so awesome. I mean, that story is so loaded, you know, just even thinking about what you guys are all saying tonight, it even, it goes to make me think about that forgiving father and how he raised his child, just like Proverbs 22:6, you know, train up a child in the way he should go. Yep. And when he's old, he will not depart from it. So that forgiving father obviously raised his child good. And he knew one day, like in that he was going to come to himself and realize what the loving father has for him, and he's going to turn back and continue in the way that he started. And I think that is an amazing story for all of us, because I know not everyone gets to experience that aspect as far as becoming born again and then say you go and stray and you fall. And, you know, good, I'm happy if you never have to experience that particular aspect, because then you could be like the son who always had what the father had. But for those who have gone and strayed, man, that story is so sweet. I just absolutely love it.
Yeah, it is amazing. It's an amazing story. Redemption.
When we talk here on the, uptime there, Bob Agan was bringing that at the beginning. We're not trying to scare you and everything. I'm sharing a screen right now if you want to put it up. Some people, we got to go with compassion, making a difference to bring them the gospel slowly. But I just think about my brother, my blood brother. I've been talking to him for 30 years. And so Jude is explaining it. Jude 23 and others, save with fear. At one point, you tried to bring fear to pull him out of the fire. You want to save them. Unfortunately, we cannot believe for them. That's the hub. Hear the gospel, understand the gospel, and be for believing the gospel. That's what you have to do yourself. But I'm just saying that Jude is very explaining the way I feel very often. You start with nice and compassion talk to bring the gospel, and then you see the person going deeper in the troubles and the problems and stuff. And at one point, I have to bring it up. I do bring it up. So if you don't want to spend eternity in hell, you got to turn around. It's turn or burn. At one point, you got to make your decision. And at the time that we're living now, there is no more time to put pretty flowers around the gospel. That's what it is. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. In any way or cases, you need to believe this and to be fulfilled and sealed with the Holy Ghost. If not, the morning after the rapture, there'll be a lot of cries and gnashing.
Yeah, for sure.
Time's coming. All the warnings are all around us right now.
Yeah, they are.
You know. Yeah, I think the main one, though, I mean, we can watch what's going on in Israel. There's stuff going there all the time, you know. But that eclipse, so talking to Brother John this morning, that thing is tightening up more and more every day. That thing is tighter and tighter and tighter. There are no holes that you can punch in it.
No.
Okay. Yeah. I'm looking for holes that you can punch in, but there's no holes to punch in this thing. It keeps tightening up and getting better and better, juicier and juicier. Yeah.
Even Robert Breaker made a video. Even him made a video. So I was glad that he talked about it.
I am glad about that. That's what blew me away, Brother John, because when he made that video, I was watching it, and he's like, and guess what's at the center? Rapture, Indiana. And I was like, what? I can't believe it. I thought it was so crazy because, there is this lady named Pamela, and she contacted me, and she asked if I would help her with the T-shirts because she's living on a retirement, and she just needed help with extra income. And I was like, well, sure, I can help you out and try to spread the shirt. So I thought that was so interesting how God intersected all those things together. And, yeah, you know, you can say, oh, things are chance, but I was like, what if the Lord's trying to was trying to show me a message. So when I seen Robert Breaker say that, I was like, no way. How crazy is that?
Man. Wow. Yeah.
And he's going in Israel. So really, I don't know.
I was going to say, what's really interesting about April 8th is, first of all, it's Nisan 1. Yeah. Now, I talked about before where, you know, at the resurrection, you talk about the days of Noah when the earth opened up and all the waters of the earth from the deep came up. Okay. Mm-hmm. We collectively represent seas and waters in the Bible. Okay. Collectively. Now, what's interesting is if you go to Genesis 8:13, it talks about Nisan 1. Okay, it says, and it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Mm-hmm. No waters, none of us are here. Just like we were talking about earlier with Sodom and Gomorrah, no righteous are here. None of the waters are here. It's all dry on that day.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, famine of the word of God. Just saying. Mm-hmm. That happened on Nisan 1, 2, and this April 8th.
Yes.
I'm saying this day, it looks like it can all go down that day.
Yeah.
Which probably means nothing's going to happen. So it's like, I'm like 55th.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, Robert Breaker was kind of like down the middle and stuff. I have a little black swan theory if you want to hear it.
Sure, yeah.
Just a little outside the box thinking here for a second. If you look at April 8th and you compare it to what Jonah was experiencing in Nineveh, gave them 40 days. If you fast forward 40 days after April 8th, let's just pretend for a second that the rapture doesn't occur on that day, and maybe it's a harbinger of something to come, like a marker that says, here's the stamp. You've been served. You got 40 days. If you fast forward 40 days to May 18th, lots of juicy nuggets happen on May 18th in history. For example, mm-hmm. Napoleon became emperor on May 18th. The smiling Buddha. I don't know if you ever heard of that. That's basically the first time India activated their atomic bomb. They detonated one for the first time as a test trial. Mount St. Helens erupted May 18th. Like, there's lots of little ripples, echoes of stuff that, like, what happens if this is maybe the X marks the spot is like the start, and it's like, look, guys, America, North America, get your act together. You got 40 days. Just, I don't know if that's the end kind of thing, but what if there's like 169 active volcanoes that are underground in the United States of America? That's what happened to Mount St. Helens, is it was under the mountain and there was an earthquake and some of that fell off. And now this was exposed and then it just blew like 15 miles into the air.
Yeah.
And it went around across the globe, across the world, three times. So,
you know,
it's crazy, right?
You know, what's interesting, too, is how many arcs are built around the world, full-size arcs. There's only one, and that's
in
Kentucky. There's only one arc on the entire planet besides the real one.
I forgot about that. Where is that?
And it's in Williamstown, Kentucky, and the eclipse goes right over it.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. How many signs do you need? Like, how many times?
It's the only one on the planet. It's the only one on the planet. Right over it. I mean, they could have built that thing anywhere. Why didn't they build it in California?
Yeah, why not California by Disneyland?
I don't know about California.
But that's where, that's where all the big stuff is at.
Yeah.
Or even out in Nevada, where the biggest ball of twine and all that stuff is. Or wherever that stuff is. But no, they built that in Williamstown, Kentucky, which I thought was a really strange place for something like that.
Have you ever seen it?
Williamstown.
No, I've always wanted to go there.
Yeah, my wife.
Yeah, I want to go too.
It's pretty awesome.
Might be a good place to be on the 8th.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
I mean, after all, if the New Badger Fault split, it'd be kind of nice to be on that arc.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, it's cool because it goes... Yeah, it goes right over it, straight to Rapture, Indiana. It's like so crazy to think about that. It's like, wow, Lord, the pictures that this is showing, and like what you're saying, Brother Bob, of all the places that they could have right. made that, you know, and that's only an hour and 36 minutes away from me. Maybe me and my wife and kids should get up the ark and
yeah,
board it.
So that's
not,
right.
But it's going to be awesome.
Wow.
Talk about that Exodus 4:8. That's, you know, everybody talks about that. I'll read it again. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign.
Wow.
So we had the first one on August 21st, and now the next one on April 8th, which is Exodus 4:8, the latter sign. I mean, come on. This thing, I say, this thing is tighter and tighter and tighter all the time. Yeah. Now, will something happen that day? Awesome. I don't know. I don't know if anything would happen that day. But I'll be honest, guys. My guard's gonna be up.
Yep, same.
My guard's just gonna be up that day, man.
I'm gonna have my guard up. Definitely. I will never say it's going to be a definitive thing. However, my theory about it is there's been a lot of talk. I think even Greg sent out something about a biological team, an army bio unit is going to be sent out around here in Indiana. They've been trying to tell people to have two weeks of food reserves and stuff. It's just craziness, things that you just don't see every day. But the one thing that I do realize is the cultic individual secret societies do exist. If it's not the rapture, I could absolutely see the potential of a symbolic and false, you know, a false
event
that could be taking place on that time. So I do think something significant. I don't know. Don't go based off your feelings, but something feels different with this. But Brother Bob Hagen has to go, guys. I just wanted you guys to know that he's having surgery tomorrow on his eye.
Oh,
if you could please keep him in prayers, that would be so awesome. And, of course, Shannon and my wife, Judy. Actually, all of us. Everyone in the chat. Just
everybody.
Giant prayer session.
It's been a blessing being with you guys tonight. So I will check you out later. See you next week.
For sure. Right, bye-bye, Bob. Love you, brother.
God bless. Take care.
See you, Bob.
God bless you.
You know, you're talking about the warnings they're doing. Have you seen the warnings coming up from AAA right now? There's even coming up from FEMA. Mm-hmm. In 2017, I saw a list of warnings for the first eclipse. Okay, the first sign. Not the latter sign, but the first sign. Mm. Right? The list of tips that they had for the first eclipse on August 21st, 2017 was this. Keep your headlights on. Put the visor down to block your view. Yep. Do not wear the eclipse glasses while driving. Do not try to photograph or video the eclipse. Exit the roadway and park in a safe area to view the eclipse.
Makes sense.
Now, same source, set a new set of tips for this eclipse coming up in a couple weeks here. Schedule errands and appointments early. Have communication planned with family and friends. Have cash on hand in case of limited internet access. Buy necessary groceries and gas. And expect heavy traffic and long lines for local services.
Something's fishy.
Yeah.
Something's fishy.
Something doesn't smell right with that
one. All I can hear is...
I don't recommend it out anywhere unless you can get back to your home. Be careful, Michael.
but that's so funny because me and my wife were joking about going to the Ark, and she's like, you know what? If we were being for real, it probably wouldn't be a good idea. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right. So everyone be careful. If you can get some extra groceries just to be on the safe side, maybe you should. Because I've never seen anything like that.
It's only an hour, right? Like, it's only an hour in one area. Like, why are we losing our marbles?
No, it's going to be
that's weird. It's weird.
Total darkness, though. Like, in one place.
I'm going to look it up, but I don't think it's very long with total darkness.
Yeah, because the sun moves, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's moving.
So does the moon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, we could probably get some questions here.
Yes. I have questions. I love questions. Yeah. Bring them on.
It looks like maximum duration of totality anywhere along the eclipse path says it is 4 minutes and 28 seconds long.
Yeah. So why
yeah, why are people freaking out?
Walk across the street, man.
Yeah, and they're telling people to get 2 weeks of provisions for 4 minutes and 28 seconds.
That's where talk about the karmic retribution. They have to tell you what's coming. Yeah, yeah. They have to tell you what's coming.
Before they
that's some type of agreement. I'm not sure how that works, but the Lord's like, you have to tell them. You have to tell them something, you know. But, you know, the Bible says that he tells his prophets, you know.
Amen.
Remember that verse on Amos. What was that? Amos. I can't remember now. Amos, help me out here.
3:3 I don't know. Just throwing it out.
3:7 It's Amos 3:7 Surely the Lord God does nothing without revealing it to his servants, the prophets.
Thank you. But yeah, so they have to say something and they can't just totally catch us off guard. But you know, if you're watching, you can't help but have your flags up this day.
Oh, okay.
Indeed.
Lord God's children, like we're all watching. Well, the ones of us who are watching the end times. The real believers who are really watching for his return, okay, we can see this thing coming like a freight train.
Here's a question:
Have
you guys seen the trailer for the Civil War?
No.
It's basically in the future when the United States basically gets ripped apart between two factions, and they're having a civil war in the U.S. in the future. So it feels like. Maybe you guys are going down that path somewhere.
Yeah.
Because they're rippling it in the media, like in these trailers. They're giving little hints. We saw it in Avengers. Yeah. Now we're seeing a full movie. I think it's actually going to be called Civil War. And it's basically they basically don't agree with the government. And then they just separate. And then there's two factions in the United States. And they're going at it, like with modern weapons. And the military is like, who are you? I'm an American. They're like, yeah, that doesn't count anymore. Which side are you on? Like,
yeah, that's during the tribulation. That's definitely during the tribulation. That's not for us. You know, that's a red horse of war riding at that point, which we have to be standing before the judgment seat of Christ and then before God's throne before that red horse even shoots out.
I'm just saying that was just a movie trailer that they're trying to prep people to
get ready. Yeah. They've been prepping for Civil War for quite a while. I think V for Vendetta, Captain America Civil War, and then, of course, this one now called Civil War. And I believe there's more than that out there, I'm sure. But that mental conditioning, they're really double-timing it now.
They're working on it.
They have to tell you. As long as they tell you what they're going to do, it's okay for them to do it. So here's a question from Blessed Saint 88 says, in the Bible, was there an eclipse mentioned at the time of the rapture? There's no eclipse.
No, mentioned it was only at the death of Jesus Christ when we hear it.
Right. The type ship parallels and patterns kind of alludes to it, but there is no definite scripture that says the sun turns to darkness and the moon to blood. At the rapture, it says it happens before the great and terrible day of the Lord.
Yeah, exactly.
The book of Joel says that.
Yeah,
so before the great and terrible day of the Lord, what's the great and terrible day of the Lord? You could say, well, that's Daniel's 70th week, or it's the final 3.5 years of the tribulation. Mm-hmm. And right now, we have all these eclipses taking place, plus we have blood moons falling on Purim for the next 3 years, going up to 2027. Which I believe is a warning of the abomination desolation.
Yeah.
So there you go.
It is interesting because what John brought up, the Mark 15, 33 to 34, says at noon darkness came over the land until 3 PM. And I do believe I've seen something like Gospel in the Stars. I forget exactly who it was by, but different people who have actually tried to use that information to backtrack to figure out the exact time of the crucifixion because of that celestial event. But I do think it's interesting that you see that picture of a eclipse happening at the crucifixion as well as, you know, an eclipse now, and it's Nisan. It's at least in the same time frame, right? Kind of, and in the month of Nisan. So that's interesting. Just throwing that out right there. I thought that was interesting, John.
Good question from Joachim. I don't know if I'm saying your name right. And it says Oliver. Okay.
Joachim.
What about the Sabbath of the red heifer? Will they sacrifice it this month? Isn't that a great sign of the coming rapture? Absolutely.
Yes.
Because if they could achieve that, then they're ready to start building the third temple, which is an indicator that the tribulation is about to begin.
Yes, please, so, quick, do it.
Those red heifers are there for a reason. God provided those red heifers. Only he can do it, and he provided them. So those three heifers are not going to just die off, and then we're going to be waiting around for another 300 or 400 years for some red heifers to show up.
Yeah.
Think about everything that's going on right now, folks.
Yeah.
All right. Those red heifers are here just in time. The perfect age.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there are too many coincidences, right, Shane?
Yeah, for sure. And sometimes, like for myself, I try to check myself. Like it's hard because we're on the winning side, obviously. We're on the winning side, and we know what's coming down the pipes, but it's hard for me to encourage people to, hey, go move to Israel. This is the best time to move to Israel right now. This is the best time for you. Go move there. It's hard for me to say that or to say, hurry up, Lord, get this on its way, because it's a bad time. 2/3 of Israel is going to get demolished, Zechariah 14. So I always have to check myself and go, like, I don't want anybody, like the Lord. The Lord doesn't want anybody to perish. So I'm always like, I see signs and stuff coming. I don't wish them to happen to anybody. Lord, delay it if you can. Delay it one more day is kind of how I look at it. Maybe that's a little bit different, but I'm like, Lord, if we just, almost like that movie with Dalton or whatever his name is, that was rescuing one more guy off of that cliff ridge. Mm-hmm. What was the name of that big cliff?
Hacksaw, that went up? Was it Hacksaw Ridge?
I think so. He's like, Lord, just let me rescue one more. And he'd go up and he rescued the most people ever.
Yeah, like that was crazy. Awesome.
No gun. So this is how I think of end times. Like, I don't wish Jacob's trouble on anybody. I don't. No. Like, it's a terrible, horrible time. Horrible time.
Mm-hmm.
One more day would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we all share with you on that one. And then again, sometimes it just depends on, you know, what you're going through. Because there's times when we're like, one more day. And then there's one times where we're like, God, it's been enough time.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Life throws some curveballs at you. But I think I always will stand with you on that one, Shane. As long as we can get more people on this arc.
You're going to be like, one more day, Lord, one more day. And also the bombs start dropping around your house. Anytime now.
Anytime.
I hear you. I'm just kidding.
I hear you.
If you get scared with all this, don't worry. Just make sure that you understand the gospel and you won't be there to see it the way it's going to be shown to us that are saved and be raptured. I don't know if we're going to see that from where we are, where we will be. But the thing is, it's not going to be pretty, okay? That's the conclusion of the book, that's coming up. And it's going to hit like a freight train, okay? I showed you my sign the other week there. The light at the end of the tunnel is not the exit, okay? It's an onrushing freight train coming towards. And it's full steam ahead.
That's a good one. Right.
Here's a question here. I'll let you do this one, John, because of what you just talked about. It says, what are your thoughts on those that claim that we have to go through the Great Tribulation to prove ourselves have these believers actually placed their faith in Jesus? And what he did for us on the cross. I'm trying to read around my camera here.
Yeah. Well, that's very simple. Okay. There's a lot of false Christians and there's also false convert. If you don't put your faith into the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for you, unfortunately, you might not be saved. You want to check that. But the thing is, we're the bride of Christ. why the groom would let us go through tribulation, get dirty with all the garbage and everything, and then get us. It's like you go get married and your husband, I'm talking to you, Miss Lynn, if your husband would say, okay, well, I'm going to loan you a little bit before and then I'll marry you. That makes no sense. You're not going through the tribulation. The Bible is clear about it. Yeah. It's very clear. Either you go, either you burn. When Jesus came, where is it? Let me see there. I want to bring this. That's a good verse about this. Mm-hmm. No, that's not the one I want. Is it John? Okay, well, Jesus, it's Matthew. Yes, Matthew 3, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, Matthew 3:11, okay? John is giving the first warning about what's going to happen. That's the first, very first warning even before Jesus Christ started his ministry, okay? Maybe you want to put it on the screen if you can. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but one. He that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. Mm-hmm. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. There is no gray zone. Either you're going to be with the Holy Ghost, you're going to be saved, raptured, or you're going to go fire, which is hell. That's the first warning that John the Baptist gave us even before Jesus started his ministry. That's very important. Mm-hmm. You need to understand that and make sure that don't gamble with your eternal life. It doesn't worth it.
Plus, like I said before, Lynn, those who go through the tribulation, it's a time of testing. Okay. Do you have to be tested? Do any of us need to be tested? Does our faith have to be tested to get saved? No. We heard the gospel. We accepted the gospel. Amen. We accepted the gift, and we got saved. Okay. Spiritually saved and sealed. That means we don't have to get tested. The people during the time of testing are not saved yet. They have to get saved, and they go through the time of testing to get saved.
Yeah.
Okay. So if we are here during the time of testing, they're going to look at us and why do we got to get tested and you don't? It wouldn't work. That's why we're removed. We have a different gospel.
And think about what John said too. You know, baptism with water and then the Spirit and then fire. That warning. What happened immediately after John the Baptist baptized Jesus? What did it say? He went into the wilderness, right, where he was tested. Jesus fulfilled all the testing. He fulfilled the law and all the law and the prophets. And so that when we who would believe in him afterwards would have his imputed righteousness. So he's already he's the full package. When he said it is finished, we get everything. Everything that Jesus did has now been imputed by his righteous standard onto us through faith. By grace through faith we're saved. It is not of works. It is a free gift of God. So that's what I love to see, is that Jesus, thank you for beating the test for me. I would never be able to pass.
Mm-hmm. So that you put yourself in the spiritually of the word of God into the King James, and you start thinking and you put yourself into, even back then in 1611 when it was written and all that stuff, and you start thinking, I just got excited. I just get hopeful. Like, you know, yes, Lord, come, right? And he does tell us then Revelation. Yes, he come quickly. But it just bring me such excitation there. I'm very excited and I'm very happy and joyful to know what's coming, because I know it's given to men to die only once. It's a privilege to die. Then come judgment. So it's a privilege to die.
Amen. Survival Elite says, could the eclipse be a 40-day final warning for non-believers? It could be a 40-day final warning. We don't know for sure what exactly. Yeah. As soon as you said that, it's at 11:11 viewers. So basically, we don't know what's going to happen that day. It's a high watch day. You can't help it. If you're a watchman, you have to be on high watch. Because I get it. I've been watching since like 2004. Okay, yeah. I've been watching. And when the eclipses came in 2014 and 15, I really ramped up my watching and started calculating everything. So it's not my first rodeo.
Okay. Watchmen, yeah. Watchmen are foaming at the mouth right now.
Exactly. And all the signs that we saw since 2014, none of them marked something on the very day. They were always like off by 7 days or a week. Well, it's the same thing. Or a month or something. It marked something, give or take, in the area. But I never really saw anything that marked something that significantly took place that day. Because if it did, I would have talked about it. I would have put it on my charts. But nothing like that ever happened.
Yeah.
But can this be the only time, though? How many believers right now are asking, Lord, when are you coming? Mm-hmm. And he's going to collectively answer all of us at one time with this sign. Can that be the case? Will this be the one time that God will do something huge on the day of the sign? It could be the one time he does it. Or it's going to be like the rest, and we're going to be waiting around for another 7 more months, maybe to the Feast of Trumpets. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope not.
Same.
That seems like a long time away. Feast of Trumpets, 2024. I mean, a lot can happen. Michael, I don't want to go through another summer of love here.
No, I don't. I really don't. I'm with you on
love,
that.
Man. That's too much love in 2020, man. I don't want no.
Yeah, love. Too much. It's too much love. Yeah, exactly. I'm ready. I know you guys are all ready too. And it just to think, you know, that soon we're going to be spending eternity with the Lord and with you guys, with my brothers and sisters, everyone on the panel. That's amazing to me, and it's such an awesome thing that I want to bring up 2 Thessalonians 1:6-9, and I love this scripture. It says, seeing that it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Guys, you don't want to be there for that. And so in this time where we have this 7 years of building up the grain in the barns, the 7 years of peace, because the famine is approaching fast, it would behoove of us to continue to go out there and spread the gospel so that those don't have to suffer through those times. That I wouldn't want that on my worst enemy. Like, that would be horrible. And nor hell. I wouldn't wish hell upon my worst enemy. You know, that's an eternal punishment. And we just want to bring as many as we can onto the ark, even if, like Brother John, kicking and screaming through the fire, whatever it takes.
Yes, witness. Sir. Yes, just before you go to the next question, I know I bring it often, but you can share the screen if you will. It's Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 8 to 13. Okay, we don't have to read it tonight. We read it. I read it often. But tell me that is not the description of the rapture. And it does.
I love that.
It's springtime. Oh, yeah. It's springtime.
Yes, right? John.
Yes, the winter is past. The rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. And at the end, he says, and my fair one, and come away.
He says it twice, too.
It's not touching the earth, skipping, leaping above the mountain, right?
At verse 10, it says, rise up, my fair one, and come away. That'll be the resurrection. Then arise, my love, my fair one, and come away.
Yes.
That's in verse 13. So that'll be the catching away of the living.
Yes.
Okay. It's funny. Look at the word. It says, in verse 10, it says, rise up. Okay. That's a resurrection.
But here
it says, arise, my loved one, for verse 13. Okay, it doesn't say rise up. It's arise.
Doesn't put goosebumps on your arms.
Yeah.
You're lightly sleeping, lightly. You're not dead asleep. It's like lightly. You're just dozing, pretty much is how we are walking right now, you know. So I love that verse. I've seen that for years. That's a beautiful rapture, resurrection.
Very much.
Verse, absolutely.
People say Solomon was doing writing out poetry for regarding love and sex and stuff like this. Well, he must have seen something that I didn't, because to write this, He must have known something. He must have been moved by the Holy Spirit. He must have to write this. I know he was a smart man, but still, I'm looking at this right now and I'm saying to myself,
It's just, there's something about this verse, and I don't know, you guys maybe can share with me, what you think. When I see this verse, it never fails. It almost feels like I have like a skip in my heart, you know, like I just long to see the Lord so much and to be with him. And it just, I don't know, there's something about it that maybe the Shulamite being lovesick, I don't know. Maybe that's what it is, but when I see this verse, it reminds me of the rapture dreams that I've had. I've even had dreams, I've told you guys on the channel, skipping through fields, and that joy, an inexpressible joy and laughter and peace. I mean, when I've had dreams like that, my wife's had them. I know Brother Bob Barber's had them. I'm not sure about Shane or John, if you guys had those dreams before, but that, I remember that. So every time I read that verse, I just think of that love and that peace, that joy, that happiness. And I can't wait until that is our eternity. That'll be every day for us. No more sorrow, no more sickness, no more pain, no more medical problems, no more problems in general, no more tents of flesh that, you know, you're always battling with. I just can't wait. I just can't wait for that day.
It is. It gives goosebumps indeed.
Got a question here from Ray. It says, I saw another program today. There will be another eclipse this fall around the Feast of Trumpets. What do you guys make of it, and how does it connect to the eclipse of April 8th? Actually, it's an annular solar eclipse. It falls on the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah, Tishri 1, okay, and it falls on October 2nd. So it's a solar eclipse on the day, first day of Trumpets. So, like I was saying earlier, can we be waiting until Trumpets? Certainly. And if we're going to wait to Trumpets, we have a solar eclipse that's a warning to the whole world that falls on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, this year is loaded. And before that eclipse takes place, there's a lunar eclipse, the blood moon, that falls on September 17th and 18th. Okay, doesn't fall on any significant day, but it is 2 weeks before the solar eclipse. Okay. So it could be marking something that maybe when they confirm the covenant with many, who knows? Okay, at that point, you know, I think that's I think the Holy Spirit will probably reveal to us what that's going to mean. More than likely, the World Economic Forum is going to do something that day. They're going to make an announcement. I guarantee this. Whatever they do is going to land on one of those 2 days, the 17th and 18th of September, October 2nd. One of them.
For us, though, it might be a moon eclipse. We might see it from up there, the moon behind us.
So that verse again, can you pop up that Solomon's verse? Do you still have it handy there?
Oh, yes, I will pop it up. Yes.
Something interesting. Stick it back on there,
I'll pop it up again.
Yes, sir. I'll do that for sure. You gotta get it there. You gotta understand it.
While you're pulling the first, that up, I'm real sharing. Fast. I gotta go, unfortunately, but tonight's been absolutely awesome, and I just love you guys. Sorry I have to leave right now, but it's been so cool, and again, I'm always grateful to be here tonight. I'm always grateful to see everyone out in the community. It's always such a blessing. It really is, and I just ask you guys to keep me in your prayers, keep the panel in your prayers, Greg and his wife in your prayers, and I'll see you guys next week.
Yes, for sure.
Thank you, Michael. Bye-bye.
Love you guys. Bye-bye.
All right, you can share it, Mr. Bob, yes, and see verse 8, the very first thing, the voice of my beloved, right?
Yeah.
What do you think it is?
I'm kind of curious at verse 13.
Yes.
Because the fig tree putteth forth her green figs. Now, maybe you guys could look into this a little bit, but my understanding is it's not quite ripe yet, but it's ready to be picked. It's just, you may not want to eat it just yet, but it's so quick. It's green. And then the next part of it is, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, fair one, and come away. It's almost like, as soon as it turns green, you could pluck it right away. But if you let it go later, like almost, I don't know what kind of season that Jesus was looking at the fig tree before he caused it to wither, because they said it had leaves, but it wasn't, something wasn't going on where Jesus like, okay, no more for you. I don't know what was happening. I wish I understood different seasons of the fig trees and stuff. Because that looks very rapture-esque, if you will, verse 13.
Yes, and the first thing that you got to understand, there is no such thing as spring and fall. There is only two seasons, winter and summer in Israel. And when the winter is past, it's summer. And the rain is over and all gone. So that means everything is finished. So the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of the birds is come. And the voice of the turtle, that's the turtle dove, is heard in our land. Okay? Ooh, ooh, right? So you're going to hear that. Then the fig tree put it forth her green figs. Yes, you're right. They might be close to be picked. And the vine with the tender grape. So the grape are still tender. They're not ready to be picked, but they give a good smell.
Yeah.
So it's right there in between. I often think about it's kind of a, if you rightly divide the winter finished, the summer, and it might be in between that line there. That's what it means to me. That's what I do understand. So that's a very thin line for the rapture. But at the top, verse 8, the voice of my beloved, that's Jesus Christ.
Wouldn't they consider Nisan 1 would be the first day of summer?
Possible. I don't know that, my friend.
Because that would be like that hairline right there.
Yes.
You know, that hairline, because you think about it, if that's the case, then if you really want to narrow it down, then you have the solar eclipse going through the United States, and right when it reaches little Egypt, you got rapture harmony right there. And plus that little Egypt, if you looked at America, is shaped like a whale. I showed it on the video, shaped like a whale. And right there in little Egypt, right there is the middle of the whale's stomach where Jonah was resurrected. And you got rapture harmony right there. So you got rapture, resurrection marked right there at Egypt. And you have death, which is also representation by the death of the firstborn, Egypt. Okay. So you have all that going on. And right when that thing passes through at that point, Israel will be at dusk, give or take, crossing over to the next day. Okay. So you see what I'm saying? Those teeter tottering days right there. When you said that there's winter and there's summer,
thin line,
right, real thin line right there. So we're looking for that thin line. So if you really wanted to narrow it down, I mean, you can narrow it down, and it's fun to do that. You're probably going to be wrong. We're all going to be wrong about it, but you know, we don't know the day and hour for the rapture resurrection. You know, but it certainly seems juicy for that time. I mean, it's rapture written all over it.
Yeah.
There's only one place in the whole world called rapture.
Yeah.
And that moon and that eclipse is going right through it. And at the same time, the eclipse is mirroring the sign of Jonah in heaven, with the eclipse being in the Pisces constellation. It's in the fish constellation at the same time. So they're mirroring each other.
Man.
It's incredible.
There's so many things, like, you don't want to be up in heaven going, but I didn't know. I didn't see any signs. Really? I just laid them all out.
Impossible.
I just laid them all out. I put fish, put Nineveh. I lined them up. Rapture town. What more do you want?
I even crossed it over a huge ark. That was an ark I've never been built. Yeah.
How can I spell it right over the ark? Yeah, right over the ark. What did
it go right over a huge earthquake where they have an immense amounts of tremors happening there right now? I know. I don't live too far from it, so I'm seeing those reports all the time. It's heating up.
Yeah,
at that section over there now, So that thing crosses right through there. And what's interesting is the pathway of that eclipse almost follows the exact pathway on the marine maps where the Earth splits, where the United States splits open because of the Magid Fault. It almost follows on the Magid Fault line all the way down. Okay. I mean, what a sign that is.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Even Robert Breaker talked about it for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
funny.
Exactly. Here's something off the wall here from KP. He says, will we see the Ezekiel 38, 39 before we leave? He's talking about the Ezekiel 38 war. What do you think, John?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
This is for after.
Yeah, after the millennium or after?
After the millennium, it's still Gog and Magog.
Yeah, that's what I kind of feel.
So Ezekiel 38, 39 could be after the rapture. It could be within. I doubt within, but it's going to be there. It's going to be somewhere, but no, the rapture, you won't see it.
No.
You're going to be gone. Or if it's after, well, we'll come back with Jesus Christ on horses for Armageddon, which is the day of that we're going to be coming back there for the ring and everything. So at that time, it's better to see the back of Jesus than the front. If you see the front, you're in trouble.
Amen. Yeah. I think we'll be gone before, only for the fact that, would you consider the Ezekiel 38 war a very troublesome time for Jacob? I think so. That's the time of Jacob's trouble, like you wouldn't believe. That's all your enemies are collapsing on you. That's Jacob's trouble. We're not here for any of that. Okay. And I think the only way for Jacob's trouble to begin is for the hand of restraint to be removed that's been holding the time of Jacob's trouble back to the 70th week back for almost 2,000 years.
Yes.
It's the hand of restraint that's been keeping Israel's prophetic timeline from God from progressing to the 70th week. For almost 2,000 years. So when that hand restraints been moved, that is a 70th week event. Okay. That is war like you wouldn't believe. I think that's when we're up in heaven. And we see the red horse rider come flying out of that scroll, and the words are spoken about that red horse rider. We're gonna see that thing flying all the way to earth. We're like, here comes Ezekiel 38. Here it comes. You know, how exciting would that be if all of us that actually study the Word? And the Bible talks about that those who study this would be blessed, especially the book of Revelation, because we're going to be watching all this stuff unfold. You're like, look. You know, we'll be pointing everything out because we know about it. You'll be blessed because we know about it.
I just want the listeners and the guys, the people in the chat, to remember it's not about who is right, who is wrong. The Bible is right. Make sure you're saved. Because if you see the 7-year tribulation, like the question we had, but if you see it from here, it's going to be pretty bad.
Yep. Yep, it sure will. Brother Shane, you want to weigh in or we'll go to the next question?
Yeah, like I'm mixed between 38 and 39 being after the Millennium Kingdom, only because of peace, like with the gates and all that stuff with Israel. Like right now, they're not at peace at all. They don't worship a king. Mm-hmm. They're a democracy, all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Some people are saying, could this be the Ezekiel 38 war right now going on any minute? And I'm like, they kind of need a monarchy, which is Jesus Christ, is kind of what it looks like there. Two nations becoming one and all this. Right. So then I start going, well, maybe we're pushing this past the millennium, because I know the Antichrist has to get defeated during Armageddon, but there's still one more battle coming with the devil. And that one is a quick one because Jesus is like, brings down fire, and there's 7 years of weapons being burnt for 7 years. And then there's 7 months of cleanup after the millennium kingdom, like in Revelation. So it's kind of interesting that it kind of matches up with 38, 39, because again, the Lord is bringing a jaw, basically bringing Gog and Magog towards Israel. And people are like, hey, why are you coming now? They're at peace. Why are you doing this? Why now? This is the worst. And today,
Israel's not at peace. There's so many gates and bars and weapons and the Iron Dome. They're worried about it getting exhausted. Mm. So this, I don't know, that's just kind of me going, it feels like after the Millennium Kingdom would be a good time to attack Jerusalem because Jesus is there. Everybody's at peace. It's like no weapons. Come on in. And then fire comes down and wipes them all out. One shot. Done. Over. Yep. Just to show, hey, who's in charge? Jesus the King is in charge. But that's me.
Mm-hmm. That sounds fair. Question here from Elizabeth. Elizabeth, why is it, if you ask Google, when is Rosh Hashanah? It says October 2nd to the 4th. Well, you know, they actually celebrate it as a one-day event, but it's celebrated over 2 days.
Yes.
Okay. And plus, their evenings start in their days o'clock. Start in the middle of the evening, and the evening is 7 o'clock. So it shifts a little bit compared to our 12 midnight. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, so, North American works from the day is midnight to midnight, but over there it's 6 o'clock to 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Like when you get into the second watch, you're into 3 o'clock in the morning. And the fourth watch is 6 o'clock in the morning.
And plus it's a 2 day event because they have to see the slither of the new moon. If it's cloudy out, then they allow themselves an extra day.
Yeah, so it would start the in the evening on the second. Day one would be the third. Day two would be the fourth. So it's still 2 days. Yeah. It's a 2 day event, right?
Yes. That's why people get confused when Jesus died. Jesus died at 3 o'clock on the Wednesday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what the first night, second night, third night until the morning. So he was done by 6 o'clock in the morning. 6 o'clock in the afternoon on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So he woke up on the Sunday morning.
So is that why they're worried about the Passover? Because they wanted to bring the thieves off the cross and Jesus because they're worried that it would be touching the Sabbath.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of like 6 that.
6 o'clock on the Wednesday, everything was done. Jesus was in the tomb. The earthquake had gone. The veil was torn. Everything was picked up there. There were no more people on the crosses. All this was done. That was the first night, first day. Because it's
Friday is not the Good Friday.
No, that's pagan stuff. That's from Easter. That's from Romans Catholic. I got a teaching on that.
Oh, yeah. That's something new that I did not know.
Calendars are messed up, right, John?
Our calendar is nothing. I don't follow our calendar. Like you say, I listen when you say 8th of April, but I listen to you better when you say Nav 1.
Nisan 1,
Nisan 1, sorry. Yes, because the Jews belongs to God. The universe, the earth belong to God.
Yeah. I might have to watch your teaching because I always thought in my head that the Sabbath is on the Saturday. Always. Friday night.
From the sunset, Friday night. Which is 6 o'clock on the Friday night.
Yeah.
To the 6 o'clock on Saturday night.
Right. And you're saying on Wednesday, Jesus was taken down from the cross before the Sabbath.
Before 6 o'clock, yes. Because everything had to be done. That's why they did not have time. The ladies did not have time to prep him and put spices and stuff. That's why they went back on the Sunday morning to finish that. They had all their spices, the wraps and everything to take care of Jesus. He was not there. He is risen, like he told you.
Yeah. Amen.
I'll have a look at
it. And on that note,
we'll find it.
Yeah.
It's been 2 hours, guys. It's been an incredible show tonight. Amen. And, well, folks, it's either we'll see you in the air or on the air next week. Amen.
Yeah, for sure.
May God bless you all. Hang in there, for we are almost finished. Amen.
Awesome.
All right. God bless. Take care, everybody.
God bless you. Take care. Be saved.